Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Well, we are continuing our Christmas series. This morning we're taking Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. The title of today's message is The Circumstances Surrounding His Birth. The Circumstances Surrounding His Birth. First, in verses 1 through 10, the arrival of the wise men to Jerusalem. Verse 1 says, Now after Jesus had been born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi arrived from the east into Jerusalem. Magoi is the Greek word here. It's the plural of magos, used for the magi. Magos is where we get our word magic from, or magician. They were magi from the east, from the Mesopotamian area. The magi were not Jewish. They were a caste of Persian priests that had come from the Mesopotamian area as priests. They are both religious priests and astrologers. The combination made up their priesthood. They used the stars as part of their councils for their priesthood in the Mesopotamian Valley. These priests knew about the expectant birth of Christ. They had the scriptures in Mesopotamia. That is the Old Testament, the Tanakh. From Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, they knew that the Jews were expecting their Messiah. In Numbers 24, 17, it is prophesied that a star would come out from out of Jacob. So they were looking for a special star to appear. So they looked for the star. They also had Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. It predicts to the day when the Messiah was to come. The Messiah was to come 173,880 days from the command to rebuild Jerusalem in 445 BC. So they had calculations. They had a star appearing in the east, and they knew because of the calculations that the Jews were expectantly looking for their Messiah to come. So they're expecting something to happen in the stars that would indicate a great person has been born. So they know about the star. They know about the timing. They know that at any time there would be a miraculous sign in the heavens, and then the Bethlehem star appears. They make their trek westward from the east to Jerusalem. In verses 2 and 3 of our text, they come to Jerusalem in verse 2 saying, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we came to worship him. Please take note, it says we saw his star. I will talk more about that when we get into verse 7. So first of all, it is called his star. That's the Lord's star. We saw his star in the east, and we came to worship him. Now when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. These magi came when Herod was king. This would be Herod the Great. He ruled from 47 to 4 BC. He was a very evil man. And at the end of his reign, he would murder friends and relatives who he thought were out to get him and to take over his rulership. Verse 4 says, and when he gathered all of the chief priests together and the scribes of the people, he was inquiring from them where the Christ is being born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this way it has been written through the prophet. This is a quote of Micah 5:2. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, not at all are you small among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come out a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Interesting quote. Right in the middle of the quote from Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, not at all are you small among the rulers of Judea. So right in the middle of the quote, the phrase, not at all are you small. It is the opposite of what Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says in the Hebrew. Micah 5:2 says, you are small among the thousands of Judea. You are small. Where Matthew quotes Micah 5:2 and says, you are not at all small. The Hebrew word for small is the word insignificant. You are not small anymore, Matthew is saying in this quote, in this reference from Micah 5:2. You are not small and you are not insignificant anymore because of what God is using you for. Verse 7 reads, then when Herod had secretly called the Magi, he inquired accurately from them the time of the appearing star. And I told you, remember from verse 2, when it's called his star, the literal translation in verse 7 is, when they saw the appearing star. Most major translations say when the star appeared. It's called an appearing star, appearing and disappearing. It's his star that is appearing and disappearing. Keep those two things in mind as we read on through beginning of verse 8. And when he sent them toward Bethlehem, he said to them, when you go secretly search concerning the child, and when you should find him, report to me, so that when I come, I might worship him. And after they heard the king, they went, and behold, the star which they saw in the east was going ahead of them. And when it came, it stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Notice in verse 9, the last thing about this star is that it reappeared. See, they saw the star appear in the east and they came. They didn't follow the star. They came after they saw it appear. It was an appearing star. It's called his star, Jesus. And the star reappeared. after they left King Herod to find out where Christ was born in Bethlehem. It was going ahead of them, the star was, and it rested over where Christ was born. Now, why am I bringing all this out about his star? It's because people debate. People have debated over the years. The most recent is that Christian theologians and scientists believe that there was an alignment of planets where all the planets lined up, and that's what appeared to them. Well, it's obvious that the text is telling us that it is his star, that it appeared and disappeared and reappeared and stood over where the Christ child was. It was a special star, not an alignment of planets. The text is very definitive about that. Then verses 11 and 12, we have the arrival of the wise men in Bethlehem. 11 says, and when they came into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. When they fell down, they worshiped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Interesting that when the Magi got to Jesus, he was not in a manger. He was not in a stable. We know from later on in texts in Matthew that he was approximately 1 year old at this time when they arrived, by the time the Magi got there. And he was in a house, not in a stable, not in a manger. The reason we know he was approximately 1 year old is because when the Magi did not return to Herod to give him the information, because they were warned not to go back, Herod calculated how old the child would be by the time they would have returned but did not. And he figured he would be about 2 years old, and that is when he made a decree. That is a decree that all children 2 years of age and under should be put to death, because he heard the message that he was king of the Jews. And he, again, was afraid that this child would take over his rulership. And just like he had many friends and many relatives killed because he thought they were plotting to take over his rulership, so Jesus became a threat to him. And he put out a decree for those 2 years old and younger. We're told later in chapter 2 that when he realizes the Magi were not returning to him, he made a decree that all male children 2 years and younger should be put to death. So we know that he is approximately a year old. We know that he is in a house by the time the Magi got there. He's not in the stable. He's not in a manger. Verse 12. And after they had been instructed according to a dream not to return to Herod, through another way they departed into their country. We are studying the circumstances surrounding the time when Christ was born, because it reveals the heart of God. It reveals the heart of God. We saw before in Matthew chapter 1 last week in verses 18 to 25, the hardship placed upon Mary and Joseph socially. It was their engagement period that the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary, and they had to experience the social shame of it all, even to the point that John in John chapter 8, verse 41, tells us that For 30 years, Jesus was considered to be an illegitimate child of Mary and Joseph. So they had to live with this over their heads for 30 years until Jesus was revealed to be the Messiah. We know, and we just studied, and I just spoke to you about in chapter 2 where Herod the king wanted to know where this Christ child was, exactly his address, the exact place of his location, so he could come and worship him. But in reality, so that he could come and have him killed. So there was a slaughter going on of children 2 years and younger. Some estimate between 5 and 15 children were killed in that decree. So we remember the lowly means by which Christ came. He came lowly. Our focus this morning is on verses 5 and 6. It says, "And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this way it has been written through the prophet," quote from, again, Micah 5, verse 2, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, not at all are you small among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come out a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Three things we want to study this morning. First of all, the place. We want to study this morning the place where Christ was born. We know it is Bethlehem. It has been prophesied. We know he was born in Bethlehem. There were two Bethlehems in those days, one 6 miles to the south of Jerusalem, which is the Bethlehem that we're dealing with here. Another Bethlehem is in the north in Galilee. Again, repeating what I said about the quote in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "Though you be small among the thousands," Matthew changed it to say, "though you, not at all are you small among the thousands." The word in Hebrew "small" is, again, as I said before, means insignificant. You are not insignificant anymore. This was prophesied in 600 BC, now fulfilled in Christ being born. But it is interesting that God chose the lowly town of Bethlehem for the Christ child to be born. Not in Jerusalem, the great city where all the religious elite were, but in the town of Bethlehem. It has nothing going for it. And after he was born, he was placed in a feeding trough, lowly conditions. He did not come with great fanfare. He came in lowly conditions. So the first thing we study is the place. It was a lowly place. It was an insignificant place that God made it significant. Now we take the second thing is the provision. We've studied the place, and now the provision. The circumstances revealed the provision of God. He came to save lowly people in a lowly way. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." Literally, he emptied himself of reputation. "And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So he emptied himself of his glory to take on a human form and to live amongst us. This is a very humble thing for God to do. The text that we studied so many times in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, where it says, "God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, to the lowly." Jesus came humble and lowly. And in coming as a man, he came to identify with the lowly. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, the writer of Hebrews tells us, "Therefore, having a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, we should hold firm the confession. For we do not have a high priest who is not able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but having been tempted according to all things, according to our likeness, that is, according to our human likeness, yet apart from or without sin." So he came as a human being, not only to reveal God to us, but also that he might experience what it is like to be a baby. He was born a baby. He came as a human being to experience what it is like to be a young man, a young person. He came to experience what it's like to be a teenager. So we're told that we have a high priest who sympathizes with us. He does not challenge or chide us. He identifies. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. It is very important. He came to be amongst us to experience what we go through so that he can sympathize with our weaknesses. Paul, when he was suffering from health situations in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, he prayed to the Lord for his leading and for his healing. And the Lord answered him in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made complete in weakness." Interesting. God identifies with weakness. You see, the weaker I am, the more I rely on his strength. Because the weaker I am, the more powerful he is in my life. To the point that Paul would go on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, "On account of which I take pleasure in weaknesses, in insults, in calamities, in persecutions, and in difficulties on behalf of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." So when he realized that the weaker he is, the stronger Christ is in his life, he says, "Bring it on. Bring on those circumstances that make the human being weak, so I can experience the power and the strength of Christ." We are constantly struggling with the issues of life making us weak. And we are struggling in the Lord to get out of that weakness, when in reality, he has left us in a weak form. He has left us in a weak condition so that we would rely on his strength and his power. So the place where Christ was born reveals his heart, God's heart. He identifies with the lowly. A lowly, insignificant city was chosen. But not only the place, but the provision. God provided for us as he came in a weakened condition, except without sin, to identify with us. But going through these experiences, we're told in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that we should come with confidence to the throne of grace so that we might get help in time of need. Why should we come? Because he sympathizes with us and has made provision for us. He identifies with our weaknesses. The third thing, we've seen the place, we've seen the provision. Third thing, the purpose. The purpose for his coming. He came to be glorified in lowly people. He came to be glorified in lowly people. In God's wisdom, he saw saving lowly people and keeping them in their humble, lowly condition would magnify his glory and his grace and his mercy. He did not save us so that we could outshine him. He came to be glorified in lowly people. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, "But we have this treasure, that is the very Spirit of Christ, in earthen or dust vessels, in order that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us." So he has purposely chosen that we live in this body of dust, broken by sin and by the sin of the world. By receiving the Spirit of Christ into my spirit, I have the treasure of the fullness of God himself. But he dwells in a person of weakness and has not changed that weakened, lowly condition. In fact, we keep getting weaker and we keep getting older. The weakened condition continues. We pray about it all the time. We pray for people all the time because of the lowly human condition that God has left us in purposely, so that when he moves and lives in us and through us, others might see him and give him the glory and not us. He goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, "While being pressed in every way, yet not being restricted, while being perplexed, but not completely despairing, while being persecuted, but not being forsaken, while being thrown down, but not being destroyed, always carrying around the dying of the Lord Jesus in the body, in order that also the life of Jesus might be manifested in our body. We who are still living, are being delivered over unto death on account of Jesus, in order that also the life of Jesus might be made manifest or revealed or made evident in our mortal flesh." So we have this treasure in earthen vessel, a vessel of dust, and it will return to dust so that he might receive the glory, so that we might rely on him for our provision. It was not with tinsel and lights and parades, but lowly, humble conditions that God chose to come into this world. And he ministered to and chose to reveal himself and minister to lowly, humble sinners in the world. This is you and me. He came lowly to minister to the lowly, that he might have the great glory, that people might see Christ in us in the midst of our weakened condition. Those are the circumstances surrounding the birth of Christ that reveals the heart of God. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your heart of love and the fact that you came in a lowly condition in order to identify with us, because you have placed us in a lowly condition, a weakened condition. And you do not remove the weakened condition. You do not remove the lowly conditions so that you would give grace to the humble, to the lowly. You keep us in constant awareness of our weakness and our constant need of the strength and power of Christ. We pray that you'd teach us, first of all, to not fight against our weakness, to not get depressed or discouraged because we are weak, but rather realize that you have put us in this condition so that we might experience the strength and power of Christ. So we pray that you would bless us during this Christmas season as we remember the birth of Christ. Remember that it was a lowly scene. It was a lowly time where you chose lowly things to bring your Son into the world. We pray that you'd help us to understand these great things. In Jesus' name, amen.